On Sunday, we did not record the very first part of my introduction of this message, so I'm just going to read you the introduction, and you'll see that it's just tagged on to the rest of the message. The message is based on an observation that Don Rumble had mentioned in several of our Friday night prayer meetings, and the statement that he used was for us to be listening to the narrative from heaven and not the narrative of the world. That's kind of paraphrased. But in any case, I really sense from the Lord to speak on that today. And I'm just going to read you the first part of my introduction, and then the rest of it will be tagged on, will be the actual message live. Anyway, since the creation of the world, there have been several voices speaking. At first we heard the voice of God speaking this world into existence. He then makes man and then the woman from the rib of man. They had conversations together and with God. God tells them what they should do and what they should not do. We then hear a third voice. This voice is of the devil, trying to convince the man and the woman they can be like the one who created them. Just follow my instructions. The woman yields first and then the man. Fear comes in. They hide from their maker. Something is terribly wrong. God comes and calls out to his man and woman. Where are you? We are hiding because we are afraid to be seen by you. Who told you that you are naked? Did you eat of the tree which I told you not to eat? She did it. The serpent did it. You are now cursed, but I will forgive you and cover you with the skin of an animal. So we see the same narrative happening when God speaks to Moses and he says, go to Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go. And so we have this whole discourse between God's voice and the devil's voice through Pharaoh, and here's Moses in the middle of it. And the thing that's very interesting to me is after all these voices go back and forth, eventually Satan gets defeated. And what's interesting is the man who is on Satan's side is actually the one who releases the Israelites to go. He says, go, right? God could have easily just taken them, picked them up, and moved them across the sea, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted to prove who he was, and that his voice was true, not only for the enemies, for people influenced by the enemy, but also for his people that he was out to save. And that, again, like I said, that narrative goes on and on, even to the time of when Jesus was on the earth. The same voice was trying to influence not only him in the desert, where he goes out and is tested. The devil is speaking his voice, trying to influence Jesus, and yet he listens to the voice of the Father. And so that's kind of just the background of what I'm thinking about today. And so I just wrote a whole bunch of different statements that I've been picking up about where we are today and the voices that we're hearing. Over and over, almost every day, we're reading them, we're hearing them, and we're actually seeing some of them. And here's just a couple of the statements, and I'm sure that most of these will be very ring true to all of you. One is actually something that New York State put out. It says, stay home, stop the spread, and save lives. And what was interesting, a couple of weeks ago, I took Mike Brzenix up to Albany, and they had these big signs on the road. Said, go home. And here we are going to the hospital to get him healed, and there's signs on the road saying, go home. So what voice do we listen to? We want to take him to the hospital and get healed. We weren't listening to that voice. There's another voices out there saying, no social gatherings, right? Where there's a lot of conflict now. There's a lot of issues going on. Now, we're having a social gathering here, but we're protecting ourselves the best we can. And yet there is a big controversy about social gatherings. We can't gather for the Lord, but yet we can go to Walmart and gather with hundreds of people. And so, you know, where's the truth in all of that? Well, I'm not going to go there today with my thoughts on that, but it's just a lot of the voices that we're hearing. Stay 6 feet apart. You must wear a mask in public places. You can't go to work. you will be told what to do. This is very interesting. There's a lot of voices out there that we haven't heard before, and all of a sudden these things are coming at us like left and right, and kind of beating us up like a punching bag. That just and then the whole issue of fear behind COVID-19. You hear COVID-19, and everybody, not everybody, but it begins to instill fear on so many people. Fear of catching the virus, fear of transmitting the virus, fear of death. All these things has instilled fear, not only here in the United States, but throughout the world. People are literally afraid. They're afraid to touch a doorknob. They're afraid to go into a store and buy a thing of milk. It's like there's this voice going on and on. And should we be careful in what we do? Absolutely. I'm not negating that. But to have fear in the process, I think there's a voice there that we should not be listening to. There are loss of jobs. There's loss of income. I don't know of many people, other than the closest person is my son Joel. My son Joel hasn't worked in 8 weeks, and it is really hitting him very hard because both he and his wife work in the same business together. They're both not working, and so it's just really hit them really hard. But they're taking it one day at a time, and there may be some here. Well, Pietro, I know Pietro has not been able to work either, so so there's something that's right in our midst as well. And then begin to hear these voices where there was an incident that I heard that was on the news where a gal ran into a guard or something in a store, and the guard was basically saying, you know, to have your daughter come in, it needs to wear a mask and all this other stuff. And anyway, at the outcome of all that was this guy gets killed. Someone comes and shoots the guy. I mean, it's like, what voice was being spoken there at that to that person? Here was somebody was trying to do their proper job, and then someone dies because of that. And then we recently heard also of a doctor. I don't know if it was down in New York City, but a doctor was just overwhelmed by what has taken place, and he listened to a voice to say, "Go take your life. It's not worth it." And then we can just continue on. There's these conspiracy theories that are, you know, there's a conspiracy theory for everything. So why not COVID-19, right? It's like, well, the first one is, well, China did it. And then the second one, no, the U.S. did it. And then the third one is, it's the World Health Organization's fault. You know, it's like all these voices are begin to trying to speak to us, trying to influence us, trying to get us to be on their side, to trying to draw us away from the voice that we should be listening to, right? And they said, no, it's the government's fault. And it's the government needs to fix the problem. And then after the government makes an attempt to fix the problem, they said, okay, well, where's my free money from the government? The government says, I'm going to give you some free money just because we want to help you out. And then the last thing, the big thing now is, when is everything going to open up? When is it going to open up, right? All these voices, back and forth, back and forth. And I know that we're all affected by these things. So what is the voice? What is the voice? What is the narrative that's coming from heaven? There may be things of truth in a lot of what's being spoken here, but we need to be discerning the truth. We need to be discerning the voice of the Lord and what He is saying to us in this particular time. And so I've just written a bunch of scriptures to me that are, I think, that will be helpful for us as a body of Christ, because these are things that have already been written for us. It's not that we have to be in a closet and praying and initially listening for the voice of the Lord or have some prophet come and tell us. No, these are words that the Lord has already spoken to us. These words are eternal. These words are full of life, and they're full of life now just as they were full of life when they were spoken. And the first one is Exodus 15:26, and it says, "For I, the Lord, am your healer." That is such a simple statement. And yet, if we look to Him for our healing and for our health, something changes in us. There's a peace that comes upon us when we begin to look to Him and not get all anxious about, am I going to get it? Am I infected by it? What's going to happen to me if, rather than say, no, if I do get it, the Lord's going to protect me. If the Lord wants to heal me, He's going to heal me. And if He doesn't heal me, so what? I'm going to be with the Lord forever. So these things should not be that big of an anxiety for us. And then Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we want wisdom in the midst of the chaos and the midst of the voices that are going on right now, we first need to have a fear of God, because that's where wisdom begins, is with the fear of the Lord. Are we fearing the voices from the television stations, from the internet, or are we fearing what God has told us to do? And so that's just an encouragement for us. Proverbs 10:17, it says, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, you know? And it just seems to me that when I see people trusting in the Lord and putting their things in the Lord, I see peace with them. I see less anxiety with them. And I just see God moving them forward in all their circumstances. And the third one with regards to the fear is Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence. And that's where we need to be. We need to have our confidence in the Lord, that He is with us, He's walking with us through this, and that He's not going to allow anything to come upon us that He's not aware of. And we need to trust Him for all that He is allowing in our lives. Are there Christians and people that are being influenced by this virus? Absolutely. Is God with them? Absolutely. And I believe that those that are aware of His presence, they have a strong confidence. Just like our sister Helen is in a very difficult place, and yet we hear from her own voice, her confidence is in the Lord. She's very grateful for every little bit of encouragement that she has received. And we just are so encouraged by that. This was spoken just this past Friday night. It's in Ecclesiastes 3:5. It says, there is a time to embrace and there is a time to shun embracing. So guess what? We're in a time where we have to shun embracing. It's just a reality. It's just what it is. And we do it for the health of others, and we do it for the health of ourselves. And so that's a good thing. Here's Psalm 76:8. He says, you, meaning God, caused judgment to be heard from heaven, and the earth feared and was still. And God has allowed this thing to happen, and He put us in a place to be still, to be quiet. I think for Westerners, We're like busy junkies. We always want to be busy doing something. We got to have something on our plate. We have to have a plan. We got to be doing this and doing that. And yet God is pulling us back, and He just says, hey, stop. I'm going to put your life on pause. You can't even go to work, those who can't go to work. You're going to be home more with your family, spend time with your family. You're going to have more time to sit with me and pray with me. These are good things. So the earth feared and was still. You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. And here's a verse that came up several times. It's Isaiah 26:9. It says, when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. And I believe that God is, like Peter has shared with us on several occasions, how his interaction with many of his friends on the internet all over the world, they're beginning to proclaim things like amen and God and will you pray for me? These things that have never gone out, because the world is beginning to learn righteousness. And there was an old, for you military guys, my father had said this, he said there was never an atheist in a foxhole. So when you have those bullets flying over your head, people are crying, oh God, you got to be out there, right? And so what is happening here? God, you got to be here. Help me with this. Help me to do the right thing. Help me not to be afraid. Help me to be courageous in all these things, right? And then there was another scripture right in Isaiah 26 that came after that. It says, come, my people, enter into your rooms, close the door behind you, hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. So it's interesting, he's calling us to go into our inner rooms. And is this the final judgment of God? No, I don't believe this is the final judgment of God. But there will be a day where God judges the world. And if we look into Revelation and we begin to see the voices that are being thrown around there and how God begins to blow trumpets and angels begin to proclaim things, we see a tremendous judgment. And those will be the voice of the Lord. And those things will happen. But is this what it is now? But no, but I believe it's to help us to prepare for what is ahead. You know, things could get a lot worse than this. And I believe God is using this to prepare his people and to awaken the world at the same time. John 16:13. He, meaning the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. That's why it is so important for us to have our time with the Lord, is so that we could be listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Word says that his sheep hear his voice. And so if the Word says that we hear his voice, then we need to be in a posture and in that place of listening to his voice. And he will guide us into all truth. Here's a verse too that has been coming out a lot in our prayer time on Friday nights. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. There is a lot of pressure on political figures right now. There's a lot of pressure on medical people. There's a lot of pressure on people in the financial business. There's just like a lot of these pressures. And some of these pressures, it's like the voice of the enemy wants to heap these pressures on people to take that responsibility, when in many cases it's not their responsibility. And I think that that's why that particular doctor got overwhelmed. He probably took on this responsibility that was beyond his capability, and he just exhausted himself, and he listened to the wrong voice, and he extinguished his own life. You know, it says, it says, bear one another's burdens, but we are to carry our own load. We have a load in which we have to carry, but we have to be careful that we're not putting other burdens, right? Or other loads on us. And so the Lord is calling out, I believe, to many people, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. Those who are dealing with sick members of your family, those who are dealing with people, your friends and things like that, people dealing with jobs. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. The second thing, too, is... Not a second thing, but another piece to this is these are words that are written down for us. They're in the scriptures. We can go to them. We can read them. We can be encouraged by them. But there is the prophetic voice. Okay, I don't want to neglect the prophetic voice. And there's a lot of prophetic voices that are being stirred up right now, and we have to be even careful with the prophetic voices that we hear, because if you go on the internet, there's hundreds of people speaking prophetically about the coronavirus. Now, Hebrews 1 verses 1 to 2 says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days in which we were in, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And that goes with a verse in Revelation 19:10. It says, then I fell at his feet. This is John speaking at the angel. Then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So there is a voice that is coming out prophetically through his body, and yet we have to be discerning in that. And there's another scripture, it says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So even if we hear a particular voice of the Lord through a prophetic word, it's not going to be the whole word, it's going to be a part of the word. And so we need to be discerning these things, we need to be listening, and just having our antenna up. And then in 2 Corinthians 10:5, which to me goes along with that, says we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So as these voices come at us, don't just grab onto them and say, yeah, this is the way, and I'm going to promote this. Because when the coronavirus first came out, it's like all these voices came out and people were starting to throw these things out on the internet, and I started to research them, and they were all false voices. None of them were true. They were just, somehow they were manipulated by the enemy to try to say something, to prove something, and it turned out to be false. And so there's a lot of things that are going on today that are false voices, that are not the Lord, and for us just to be discerning. And okay. 1 John 4:1-12, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So there is a litmus test for us to be discerning of the correct voice from the Lord. And then my last scripture here with regards to the narrative of heaven. And 1 Peter 4, 12-13, I've shared this before, says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were coming upon you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Right? So part of this also is for our testing. Yeah. It is for the testing of our faith. What voice are we going to be listening to? What narrative? Are we going to be listening to the narrative of the world and everything that comes off the internet and the television? Or are we going to be listening to the voice of the Lord and being encouraged by his people, by coming together here on Sunday via internet or whatever it is? We have that choice. And it's coming on for our testing because, like I said, in the days ahead, things are going to become more and more intense. And God is using this to help us, to prepare us for that which is to come. Now, I said all that to say something else. Part of the voice, or part of the voices that I personally have heard, have to do, and actually this is something that I would like you guys to pray for the elders about, and that is, there's going to come a time and a moment, like I put out in our email, that we are going to have to make a step forward where we allow the congregation to open up. And how are we going to do that? And are we going to do it in phases? What kind of restrictions and things like that are we going to do? We're thinking about the kids. There's just like a lot of myriads of things that are going on right now. But I want to, this is something that the Lord really spoke to my heart in overseeing that process. And I think it's a good thing for us to be reminded of. And if you have your scripture, your Bibles, turn to Romans 13, okay? Romans 13, and I'm going to start in verse 1. And I'm going to read through verse 7. And now, again, this is the voice of the Lord, and we need to receive this and understand what the Lord is telling us. It says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For if it is a minister of God for your good, for it is a minister of God for your good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on those who practice evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing, rendered to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to who custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, this is a very interesting scripture because the Lord is giving us instruction to be in subjection to governing authorities. And in many cases, the governing authorities that we have are not very godly authorities. Would everybody agree to that? We have some very vocal people that are governing us in the state of New York, that are governing in the United States, that are governing in the world, that have voices that I do not believe come from the Lord himself. But yet, the Lord is very specific that we need to be careful about how we respond to the governing authorities. Now, and the reason I'm saying this is because there are laws set in place by the CDC. There are things that are set in place because of the coronavirus by the governor of New York State. And there are protocol and things that we, according to the scripture, we need to be understanding and following those. Now, people will say, well, what about, you know, if God wants you to do such and such, or if God wants you to have an assembly and do those kinds of things, which some people are. And so I thought about that whole process, and I thought about several people in the scriptures, and I'm going to give you a couple of their stories. First of all, Jesus told his disciples, he says he has authority to lay his life down and to pick it up. And so what he did when he came to the world, he laid his rights down, he laid his life down, and he did it for a reason. He did it because his Father asked him to do that, and he purposely laid his life down. And in that process, he was in subjection to a very cruel government. It was the Roman government that was in control of his days. And it's so interesting, when Jesus finally is falsely accused by his own people, his own people told them that he calls himself a king and there's no other king except Caesar, so you have to kill this guy. And so what Pilate does, I want to read you his interaction with Pilate in John 19, verses 8 to 12. It says, therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid and entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You do not speak to me? Do you know I have authority to release you and have authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You have no authority over me unless it has been given to you from above," which it had. "For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." So here Jesus totally submitted to the governing authorities. And it says, as a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you release the man, you are not a friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." So what an interesting scenario where Jesus himself puts him totally in the hands of the governing authorities, knowing that he could easily walk away from this, but he doesn't. And he did it for a reason. He did it because this was God's purpose and God's will. And then we see the same thing happen. After Jesus dies, he's resurrected, and he goes back to be with the Father. We see several things. We see initially the apostles are jailed specifically by the high priest. And let's turn there. Let's turn to Acts 5. Acts chapter 5. I'm just going to paraphrase this story. The apostles are out on the streets. They're proclaiming the gospel. They're healing the sick. And all the signs and wonders are going on. And it says in verse 17, "But the high priest," this is his own people, right? "The high priest rose up along with his associates," that is the sect of the Sadducees, "and they were filled with jealousy. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in public jail." So here a voice had risen up. It came against God's purpose, the proclamation of the gospel. And they're thrown in jail, right? And I don't want to get this mixed up. Just hold on a second here.
Verse 27.
Okay. So what happens there? This is really interesting. They get locked up in prison, and then God supernaturally just moves them out, because the next day they go there. The door's locked. The guards are still there. They open the door, and there's nobody there, right? And they said, "Oh, they're in the temple preaching." And so they go to the temple, and they're like, "Oh my goodness, what's going on?" And they basically were trying to shut them up again, right? And so this is a statement that I think is, we just need to grab hold of this particular statement. It's this verse 27. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this way, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Okay? Now, I don't believe that this statement contradicts the one that we just did in Romans. Because it's talking about being submitted to the authority, the local authorities, which they did. They submitted to the local authorities. They were put in jail. God supernaturally brings them out and puts them back in. And so what they were saying, they were speaking to a false prophetic voice coming from within the church saying, stop preaching the gospel. And they say, no, we must preach the gospel. And to me, that's the point in that particular case, is we must obey God rather than men in the proclamation of the gospel, and not to be dishonoring any men and their laws. So I just wanted to bring that into clarity for us, so that we have the full counsel of God, and so that we don't act on something like a little statement like, well, we must obey God and we must forget about the laws of the land. We can congregate and we can do whatever we want and we don't have to wear a mask. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude is that we follow the laws of the land. We do what we can. And but when it comes to the proclamation of the gospel, now there's a little difference there. We have to do that which God says and not man. If we were told not to preach the gospel, then that would be another story. But that's not what we're being told right now. There'll be a day when that will happen. It happens in other countries, and they have to make their choices in that regard. Okay, so then there was Peter in jail, and then we know there was Paul and Silas in jail, and they submitted to the authorities. They went in jail. Guess what? They began to sing and worship the Lord. There was an earthquake. They were loosened. And they didn't even leave. That's the funny thing about that. The jailer was freaking out because he thought everybody left. And they said, no. We're still here. And so he comes in, and the guy, he just falls down. He says, what must I do to be saved? And he gets saved. His family gets saved. They get water baptized. And what an awesome thing. They submitted to the authorities. They stayed in jail. They didn't get out and leave. That's such a wild thing. So let's take the examples of Jesus, of Peter, and of Paul and Silas. Let's take their posture as we have to work with our local governments. They may not be the exact voice that we agree with, but there are laws that are in place, and we need to abide by them. Okay. Okay. Let's turn to Psalm 46. And then I'll be closing. There. Psalm 42. I'm going to read the whole thing.
Is it 26 or 46?
46.
Psalm 46, yeah. Mm-hmm. Got it? What's that?
What translation are you
using? I'm going to use the NAS translation. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Amen. Amen.
And then I just want to read Revelation. Go to Revelation 22. Starting in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cause. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testified to these things, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. And I just feel to say that because Jesus is coming. And the bride, I believe he's stirring his bride to say, come, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, come. Because you're the one we're waiting for. You're the voice we want to hear. You're the one who says we are the beloved. Lord, just continue to encourage us and strengthen us as we go through each and every day, Lord. Let us rejoice in the things that you've spoken to us, Lord. Let us be discerning in the other voices that are coming at us from all these different angles, Lord. And if necessary, let us just shut them down, Lord. Let us turn off the TV set. Let us turn off our phones and just listen to your voice in that quiet place, O God. Lord, just help us in these days, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen.